Well, thank you for your welcome. It's lovely to be here with you at Loham again this evening. I'm going to do the scripture reading now, and our reading this evening, as you probably picked up from the hymns that we've sung, I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4 this evening. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 7. And in my Bible here, it's got a little heading. It says, "Love as Christ loved." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. We had a gentleman open up our service this morning, and he almost preached my message. I thought he's been looking at my notes, because he read from 1 John chapter 4 this morning, and I thought, well, I hope Barry hasn't spoken on the same thing this morning, but he assures me not. So I'm okay. But 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, please. John writing says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." And we know the Lord blesses the public reading of his word. As I was planning this, I went to a couple of Old Testament passages where God is talking to the nation of Israel. And on one of those, God says to the nation of Israel, "I have loved you." And you, the nation, ask, "How have you loved us?" That's in Malachi chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 43, God again is talking to Israel. He says, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And really, those two passages set the tenor of what I want to say this evening. I want us just to rejoice in a week where, well, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been getting lots of emails from every company under the sun telling me what I should do for this coming Wednesday. February the 14th, you might realise, is Valentine's Day. And I've been told by clothes shops that I should buy a certain sort of clothes for my wife. I've been told by cosmetics companies that I should be investing in these different things. All the different things I've ever bought from, the clothes shops, or whether it's the, I'm trying to think of the cosmetics, actually some aftershave I bought for myself was the last thing I bought there, the body shop, wasn't it? But all these things have been emailing me, telling me what I should be doing to express love. We're not part of Israel today. Perhaps you are of Jewish heritage, but generally today I'm expecting to be speaking to people who are not consider themselves to be Jewish. But I want to tell you tonight from the New Testament about the love of God and how that God looks at you and me and he says, you are mine. I've called you by name. I have loved you. And this love of God isn't about slushy sentimentality or dependent on whether I buy the right gift or whether we spend money here, there and everywhere. In case you worry, I probably will buy a bunch of flowers. I might even get to buying a card, but we shall see. But the love of God isn't about something that can be forgotten easily. It's not about sentimentality. It's not about fickle emotions. So often people would tell us, well, you've got to show it. And if you don't spend all this money, or you don't do certain things, it doesn't mean anything. Oh, I'm delighted that I can share with you tonight and just refresh your hearts that the love of God is self-sacrificing. We could look back in the Old Testament and we could read in 1 Corinthians, couldn't we? Love is patient, love is kind, love does not boast, love is not self-serving. And we could go through and we could remind ourselves what love is. But I want to take you through and just remind you of the love of God. A love that has reached down, taken me from where I once was, and put me where I am today. Oh, I'm not perfect, but I have a Saviour who is. And as we have sung, I have been loved with everlasting love. We've sung of love that's divine, all loves excelling. We have sung of a love that will not let me go. And I trust that as I share these things with you tonight, they'll thrill your heart. Perhaps I'm speaking to folks who have known this for years, but perhaps you've never laid hold on it for yourself. And if you never have, I pray that what I share with you tonight will challenge you and encourage you as we share it together. Perhaps something romantic I could have done was to slip in one of our wedding hymns. You'll have to ask my wife later if I did that or not tonight. Hopefully she did notice that we sung one of our wedding hymns as we have started off this evening. But 1 John chapter 4 is where we read from. And we read verse 9, in this was clearly shown, manifest the love of God towards us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The wonderful thing about the God that Christians preach about is that we have a God who gives. We could go to almost any other religion in the world today, and we would have to do something to appease their gods. Whether we would go and see the Hindus as they would live out their faith, or the Buddhists, and they would bring gifts, and they would bring it to an altar or a place of sacrifice, a temple of some sort. And they would bring what they had to offer. Perhaps even some of the cults that would say they're Christians, they would say, well, we have to go and knock on so many doors, we have to spend so many hours doing this and this and this and this to be right with God, to be assured of his favour. The Christian God sets himself out as a God who gives us liberally and wonderfully. The Christian God is the one true God. There is none beside him. He is the one who created, who sustains, who keeps, who provides, and one day is going to be shown in this earth clearly again. And the Bible tells us that the thing that clearly shows us the love of God is that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. This lady who came into Millway a little earlier, I said, well, if you're perfect and if you haven't got to worry and if your life is good enough, I said, why did God send Jesus Christ? And she muttered a few things and had to disappear fairly quickly at that point. Because I'm not perfect. And throughout the Old Testament, God sets out a plan that there has to be a sacrifice for sin. And God shows his love to you and to me, that he would send his perfect Son as one sacrifice for sins forever, to demonstrate his love to you. And Christians get this very muddled up. We were driving in the car last night and we had one of the Christian radio stations on. And the message, just a couple of minutes between a couple of pieces of music, came on. And the person who was speaking was saying, well, the love of God is there for everybody. And it doesn't really matter what you do, the love of God is there for you. And you know God's forgiveness. And Joe and I looked at each other and we said, well, that's sort of right. The love of God is sufficient to everybody. Christ died for the sins of all. But the Bible does tell us that we need to personally accept that. Perhaps at Christmas time we'd use the analogy of the gift under a tree. And the gift is there. But until it's been received, it's not there in the hands of the recipient, is it? And we have to be very careful how we handle these things. God sent his Son into the world that each of us could have a personal relationship and live through him. Christ came. And Romans 5 goes on to tell us that not only did God send his Son, but God commends his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Later on, Barry's going to be showing me how you do it properly, and he's going to be leading the communion. And we'll be reminding ourselves that absolutely fundamental to our faith is the fact that Christ gave himself. The fact that we don't come to God because of who we are or what we have done, but because of what Christ did. And Christ came, and Christ gave himself for us. We are justified by his blood. And the table reminds us of that. We are justified by that. We are saved from wrath through that. And it's personal, you know, for us to experience and for us to desire that love of God. It's not just some concept that we can buy into. This is something personal to each one. As we read, or as I quoted from the Old Testament from Isaiah, where God says to the nation of Israel, I have called thee by name. You're mine. The New Testament tells us that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Ephesians chapter 3. Through faith, we know the love of God. Through faith, we trust in what God has done. And through faith, we are changed from the inside. Christ dwells, lives within us. That's his abiding place. Oh, and as Paul is writing the letter to the Ephesians, he goes on there in Ephesians 3. He says that you can be able to comprehend with all those who love God what is the breadth and length and depth and height and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. That love that has been shown to us fills us. There's no space for anything else. It's so broad and so high and so deep. It passes knowledge. I can tell you about it tonight. I can tell you what I've experienced of it tonight. But it's beyond anything I can really explain. And those of you tonight who know the love of God in your own life, I'm sure we could each look and say just how much it's changed us and how much it's affected us. And your circumstances will be different to mine. I'm sort of getting past the age where people look and think we've got a young speaker tonight. But as I've been around and as I've been speaking over the years, what I've discovered is that I can't just look at my congregation and know about them. Behind each face looking back at me, there's a different life story, different pains, different tragedies, different history. Some of it's known to other people that are close to you. Some of those things are very personal and nobody else quite knows what we've experienced and what we've gone through. but Christ, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, as he lives in our hearts by faith, is able to meet, to soothe, to sympathize, to be there and show compassion for every need that we have. My grandfather's favorite hymn was a beautiful old hymn. And it talks, and my grandfather loved his garden, it says, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. The chorus says, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I don't think you need the hymn books. I think you could sing that with me without them, couldn't you? Lovely to hear you quoting some of those words along with it. But it's that personal relationship, knowing that every moment of every day he's there. And whether the trials and tribulations we face, we go with those who we love on this earth, or whether we face them alone, in a spiritual sense, he's there with us every step of the way. Sadly, as I've spoken to people over the years, time and time again, I've spoken to people whose earthly relationships have let them down. Things have turned sour, things have got difficult, things have broken down in a way that they never expected. But praise God, as I speak to you about the love of Christ, that's never a possibility. He is faithful. He is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Romans 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? We hear of these things in the world today, don't we? Warfare, famine, lack of home, lack of clothing, all these things. It says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Whatever we might face, and as we see on the pages of the news, and we just wonder very often about Christians living in some of these places we hear of on the news. There are Christians worldwide who are affected by everything that we hear about on the news that comes through to us. And many places we don't hear reported in our mainstream media as well. Christians daily whose lives have been affected by persecution or nakedness, out of house and home, destitute, nothing to their name, tribulation, sword, warfare. They know the power of God in their lives. It is reality that whatever we face, he is here with us. You might say, well, Andrew, it's all very well talking about spiritual things. Well, let me take you to when Jesus Christ was here with his disciples. You might remember he picked out those 12 disciples, a ragtag motley bunch of all sorts, some fishermen, some tax collectors, some Jewish zealots. And really, naturally speaking, you'd put the 12 of them in a room and just watch the fireworks. But here they are. And Jesus Christ calls them from all their different backgrounds and he says, follow me. And right at the end of his life, John chapter 13 records this. Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. It says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He knew what those things would be. I could take you to the cross, where at the cross, in all the agony he was starting to endure and starting to suffer, he would look and we'd read that there by the cross of Jesus was Mary, his mother. And he'd look to his disciple John and says, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. But even in that moment, he was caring for those around him on this earth, ensuring his mother had the proper care that she needed. Jesus loved his own to the end. We can hold this up and we can go through into John 17, where Jesus Christ is praying. And he prays, Father, I will that them who you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He loved them to the end. And his desire was that when he'd gone, that those he loved would be with him forever. They may behold my glory. Well, what it is to be able to read these words from the Bible and realize that this isn't just a concept or a nice thing to be talking about, but this is reality. The man Christ Jesus, when he was here on this earth, cared for them. Oh, those disciples were far from perfect. We read of their arguments. We read of their desire for power and authority. And we read of the accusations that went on amongst them at different times. But Christ loved them. Christ was caring for them up to the end. He was praying for them. He knew that Peter would betray him. And what does he say to Peter? You will betray me, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. These are just a few real examples for the way that Christ treated those that he knew when he was a man here on this earth. He has the same love and the same compassion for you and I. He draws alongside us and he says, you are mine. I've called you by name. When you walk through the valley, I will be with you. He wanted them to be with him. Today, he's looking for that time when we'll be with him. He looks on in love to you and me. And he recognizes that we're afflicted by bodies that slowly fail. He recognizes that we are subject to sin. We live in a world where men hated him, and often we suffer some small level, perhaps in the UK at the moment, but we often suffer some level of persecution or comments about the faith that we have. Christians who take the Bible as the Word of God and hold its authority in all things, increasingly we find ourselves at odds with what we're told we should believe and what we're told we should practice. Discussing with my wife about bringing up our now 10-year-old daughter and just the things that she experiences in society. The world is a different place even for her than it was for me. God knows that we are here in this world which hated him. And he knows that, and Christ said it, the world will hate you. And know this, that it hated me first. Perhaps we are blessed in the UK to often really not know persecution. We can come to a church like this freely and openly and not be afraid that our cars are going to get torched or that we're going to get martyred as we leave the building tonight. There are parts of the world where we couldn't meet like this. You know that. But we are increasingly being told what we should practice, what we should believe, what we should preach, what we should do as Christians in Western society, an inclusive society. Accepting society. God says, I am the moral standard. I am the moral judge. This book sets out God's acceptable, God's standard for life. And Jesus Christ is today looking at us, and he's waiting for that time that God has appointed when he will take all Christians to be with himself. We'll be out of this world, perhaps we'll go via the veil of death. Or perhaps Christ will call and take us to be with himself, that we shall be with the Lord forever. I'm aware that Christians have a lot of different views on that, and you might have a different understanding to me, but I do believe it could be at any time, personally. Christ will come and take all Christians to be with himself, and we'll be forever with the Lord. That was what Jesus said. He said, I want them to be with me and I'm going to prepare a place for them. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, we read those words. I hope that what I've said has made some sort of sense. I'm looking back through my notes and thinking, well, hopefully you followed. I've gone on a number of sort of tangents I wasn't really planning. But I do want to ask you tonight, have you experienced that love for yourself? Barry, when he opened up, said this is an open invitation to those that love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, does that show in your heart? It's easy for this world to wear us down. It's easy for this world to conform us to its standards. To want to use its language that we hear in our workplaces. To want to have its morality that we see on our televisions and read about in our papers. To want to be fickle with our emotions and with our time and all these things. May I just challenge you that we have a God whose love never fails and never changes. Jesus Christ could say in John chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He says, continue in my love. He says, I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John chapter 15, verse 12. God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus' standard for us today is that we love one another with that same sacrificing love. And it's not always easy, is it? We're all different. We'll have different temperaments and different likes and dislikes, and there are always going to be some human beings that rub us up the wrong way. But Christ could take those 12 disciples. He could show them his love. He could unite them in who he was. Tonight, we're all from different backgrounds. But we're all going to break bread together in a few minutes' time, united by who Jesus Christ is. United by what he has done. Not because of what I've done. Not because of what I've achieved. All because of him. He sets us this high standard tonight here at Lohan. That we love each other. With that same self-sacrificing love that he showed to us. That we put the needs of one another first and care for one another. Have you ever experienced his love for yourself? Or have you gone through the world and through your life just rocking from one human relationship to another, never quite knowing the stability that comes from a faith in God, one who's always there, one who's always faithful, one who's always with you, one who always cares and one who always desires the best for your life? Or you might still struggle. You might still have difficulties, but he's with us. He's there through it all. He watches over us, and he keeps us. Oh, I'm hopeful, really, that there's nothing new in what I've said tonight. I hope this is all things that you know. And as I've just quoted back through some of these verses, and I've taken you through some of these things, you go, yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. But what I hope is that tonight, as I've shared them, they just speak to your heart, remind you of the love that he has for you, and just help your heart to not grow cold in this world which would seek to take it from us, this world that would seek to rob us of its joy, that we will know the love of Christ, that his love will dwell richly, the love of Christ may dwell in our hearts richly, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of Christ.